Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. The radio show's page is where we put the podcasts, as well as on SoundCloud and iTunes, and we're on Facebook as well as Twitter. I think we're fairly connected until another major social media outlet comes along, and then we'll have to connect to that too, just to stay current and, I suppose, they say relevant. One of the things we like to stay relevant in, of course, is our subject matter. We're going to be giving you the link to our guest's website so that you can continue to follow along and research and investigate and really find out what it's all about, and then take it from there in terms of your dreams, your aspirations, your desires to fulfill your life in the direction that you want to go, to live out your purpose and thrive in this life and in this lifetime. We encourage you to join us as we talk with our very special guest here on the program. His name is Brent Phillips, and he has a workout right now that is entitled Where Science Meets Spirit. That's the formula for miracles. Where Science Meets Spirit, the formula for miracles. And I want to thank you, Brent, for joining us here on the program. This is, I think, going to be an extraordinary hour.
Oh, this is great. I'm excited to be here.
I know that, you know, you yourself, like myself, like I, started out in computers. I'm back in the early mid-90s. I was actually building them and putting them together. Didn't go quite the direction that you went, because you just went into the heart of the beast, so to speak, in terms of the internet, networking, and building your own company and so forth. And we'll get into all of that as well. One of the things, though, that I noticed about computers was the similarities between the computer and the human being. And I'm not talking about artificial intelligence here. I'm just talking about the basic structure of a computer. You know, might consider the hard drive as the brain, because it holds the software and it holds all the data. But then you have your peripherals. You have your sound card for listening, as well as for speaking into, you know, the different programs we have today. And your networking, so that you can connect with other computers on the internet, and so on and so forth, and all the other aspects of it. However, of course, the one element that's missing in a computer, at least as far as I'm aware, maybe you found something I'm not aware of, is sort of that soul, that essence that animates it. Now, some would say, "Well, yeah, that's electricity." Well, okay, we could go that route. But computers, at least as far as we know today in our present technology, cannot elicit change in their reality. Sometimes we think, you and I, I'm sure, we've had the experience where the computer seems to be doing something in and of itself. It sort of takes over, right? It's like, why did it do that? I remember reading a piece about the similarities, I guess, between reality and Microsoft Word, and one of them was crashing, you know, where if you're in a car accident, you have an idea of who's at fault, whereas when a computer crashes, nobody seems to know how and or why. So when we start talking about this aspect of miracles, of maybe more along the lines of changing one's life and going in a direction that I suppose we would like to go. And I sometimes have to question that theory as to whether that's us or something else beyond us, the great programmer in the sky, so to speak. Can you sort of elucidate on what exactly you're talking about when you refer to these miracles?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, it is, first, I want everyone to know that I am probably the world's most unlikely healer, because I never thought I'd be doing anything like this. The idea that if you would ask me 30 years ago, "Oh, Brent, you know, do you see yourself as a spiritual teacher doing energy healing?" I would have laughed. I would have thought it was hilarious, because my background is firmly in technology.
Yeah.
And when I was in high school, I actually had a great job where I built computers. So I know what you're talking about. Back in the days when we had to lay in the RAM one chip at a time.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Solo formatting of hard drives, all that stuff, right?
That was fun. I actually loved that. It was building a working model.
Yeah, exactly. And there are actually a lot of parallels. And what I've learned through my journey is that it's not a coincidence that this computer and internet technology has come to the world at the time it has. It's intimately tied in with our spiritual ascension. They're really two sides of the same coin. That they work together. And the way I would explain it would be that a human being operates very much like a computer. That we got the hardware, which is our body. The hard drive is really the brain and nervous system. And we all know that you got your computer or your tablet or your phone nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a bunch of programs on them. And, you know, you may have your web browser. You have your, you know, Skype or FaceTime. And, you have your word processor, whatever it may be. And we all know that what drives the way those programs operate is simply, you know, there's code on the hard drive that gets loaded into memory and executed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Well, guess what? Humans work exactly the same way. That for every area of our life, we have a program. So we all have a program for our physical health. We have a program for our emotional health. We have a program for how much money we make. We have a program for how happy we are. We have a program for how busy we are. We have a program for our level of intuition and purpose, and you name it. I can go on and on. And so we literally have programs that create our lives. And here's the trouble, that most of us live totally backwards. And we wonder why we're struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the 90s, there was a blonde joke that circulated. It went something like this. How do you know a blonde has been using your computer?
I know this.
Well, it's covered. You know that because the monitor is covered with black marker and whiteout.
Whiteout, right, exactly.
Right. And so that's kind of funny, but the point being that it's a funny joke because we all know that drawing on your monitor is not going to fix your computer software, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All it can do at best is to temporarily cover up the symptom, right?
Exactly.
That we know if your software is off, you need to fix the code. It's that simple.
Yeah.
But guess what? Unfortunately, the way most of us are trained to live our lives is we spend our whole lives drawing on our monitors trying to fix our software.
Yeah.
And so, you know, money is one example. A lot of people think that, well, I don't have enough money, so I need to try to get more money. By trying to get a better job or make smarter investments or cut back on Starbucks or whatever it is. Not realizing that that's just drawing on a monitor. You actually have code inside of you. You know, your money program that runs that. And, you know, trying to save a few bucks here or there is just drawing on the monitor. Good luck with that. The entire industry of conventional medicine, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is just drawing on your monitor. It's not actually fixing anything. It's just covering up the symptoms. So you go to a doctor, and there's something wrong. And so what do? They order a bunch of tests. They give them a bunch of numbers. And then they give you a bunch of prescription drugs to try to push those numbers around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it actually addressing the underlying condition? Rarely.
Yeah.
It's simply manipulating the presenting symptoms. It reminds me of another great old joke that someone buys a car and the warning lights on the dashboard keep coming on. And they find it really annoying, so they go to the mechanic and say, you know what, it's really annoying how all these warning lights are always coming on. Can you please disconnect them?
Or cover them up with electrical tape.
Right, or just cover them up with electrical tape. I don't want to look at this anymore.
Exactly.
But that's how we live our lives.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we're taking care of our body. That's how we're raising our children. And it's nuts.
Yeah.
And we wonder why we're struggling. And we go, gee, why am I in pain? Why do I have no money? Why am I unhappy? Why am I lonely? Well, it's not really your fault, but you were trained to draw on your monitor rather than fix your code.
Exactly. Now, there's a you mentioned this actually at the front of this conversation here about formatting the hard drive. And from what I have learned over the years, there is only probably one way that you can literally eliminate the data that was on there, the zeros and ones, the ghost images, et cetera, et cetera. And formatting isn't it. It's not enough. You literally would have to use a magnet.
Yes.
And almost like we used to do with audio tape to reuse it, degauss it, as the term goes. I don't even know where that came from. But that's the only way that you can actually completely erase a hard drive.
Yep.
We can't do that if all of this information is actually in the brain. We can't do that with the brain. We die.
That's right.
If we do that. As a matter of fact,
that's right.
When we die, as far as I know, all of that information, all of that data, I don't even know where it goes. And I'm talking about
that's
the brain
a good
here.
Question, huh?
Yeah, where does that go? I mean, we accumulated over a lifetime, and what? It just evaporates, disappears, or is converted into universal energy, you know? Or goes into the collective?
The good news is I can actually answer all those questions.
Ooh, please do.
So we'll start with the easiest one. Degaussing was developed during World War II to defeat magnetic mines.
Mines. Exploding
right.
Mines. Gotcha.
They developed mines that were magnetic that they would leave in the water and an enemy ship would come and it would use the magnetic field of the ship to attract to it and blow it up.
Ah, yes.
So they learned how to, they wrapped the ships in electrical cables and ran current to degauss it, which would nullify all of the magnetic field on the ship and make them invisible to the mines.
Okay.
So just a little historical side note, since you asked, one answer.
Did not know that. Very interesting. Go ahead.
Now, in terms of the human recordings, that's a fascinating question. Here's the answer, is that we actually have four different bodies. There is the physical body, which is the one we're all most familiar with. There's also an emotional body. There is a mental body and a spiritual body. And the emotional and physical bodies have a four-dimensional manifestation. And by four dimensions, I'm meaning our normal everyday reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have the up, down, the left, right, the forward, back, and we move through time. So Our human biology is wired into a four-dimensional reality. When we die, we transition back to a fifth-dimensional reality, and the physical and emotional bodies disappear. They stay here on Earth. The mental and the spiritual body moves on to the fifth dimension fully intact. And so, in terms of our code, what does that mean? You know, you brought up an excellent point that says you can't just go and do a low-level format on a human, right?
Right.
That doesn't work. Because literally, we are all run by the subconscious. When I referred earlier, when I said you have a program for how much money you make, you may ask, well, what is the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? How does that work? Well, it's pretty simple. We humans, we are full of code. I call it the software of the soul. The most common term for that is the subconscious mind. And our bodies are essentially powerful biological computers. And the subconscious mind is vastly more powerful than the conscious mind. To use some computer terms, the conscious mind, depending on the person, will process anywhere from 4 to maybe 40 bits of information per second. That's not a lot. The subconscious mind can process millions.
Mm.
So the subconscious mind is, you know, roughly a million times more powerful.
Mm.
And so that's why running around struggling in all these different ways to try to change and improve our lives is often very difficult. Because we're using a piece of us that's not very powerful, right? This conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up against the subconscious. A great example would be, you know, I'm sure a lot of people may have been to different kinds of law of attraction or mind power or wealth building programs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I went through a phase where I got really into that back in the 90s. Back then, we called it positive thinking. Nowadays, we call it law of attraction, but it's really the same stuff,
same
right?
Same stuff, absolutely.
Because my experience was I was at MIT in the 90s in grad school and became one of the world's leading internet experts. And I figured, well, heck, when the internet boom hit, I figured this is my gold rush, right? And so I moved to California and started an internet company with my lifelong best friend. And we had a lot of success at first. I did the first website for the Sony PlayStation, for Nissan Motors, for Disneyland, a lot of great high-profile projects. But I was working 100 hours a week to make it happen. And my body broke down, and I was in terrible pain. And I spent 3 years in therapies trying to get better. You know, 3 years at the Curl and Joe Clinic, the top physical therapy place in Los Angeles, where the Olympians and professional athletes go. And after 3 years, they kicked me out and sent me home to die. They literally told me, Brent, you'll never recover. You'll never be out of pain. You'll never be able to work again. There's no chance of you ever recovering. Please don't come back. We don't want to waste our resources on an impossible case. And that was brutal. You know, my life was basically over at that point.
Wow.
I was living with my parents, living in terrible chronic pain. My best friend sold the company I had founded for millions of dollars behind my back and also stole the woman I was in love with. So it was really a wipeout, a dark night of the soul. And I was 27 years old when I got put on permanent disability. But you know what? I didn't give up, and I turned to positive thinking. And I did all that kind of stuff. You know, I became this gung-ho positive thinking warrior, right? And I went to the weekend seminars, and I'd jump around on the stage and high-five people and made a vision board and said my mantras 108 times a day and put power words on my wall and joined masterminds and all that cool stuff, right? But my life didn't improve. I didn't start making money. Mm. My pain didn't go down. I didn't find an answer for my health. And I gave up on it, even though I knew other people had success with it. And you might ask, okay, why is it that some people have success with this, right? Like Rhonda Burns, the woman that did The Secret. When people ask her, how did you create this worldwide phenomenon, right? The Secret sold something like 50 million copies, right? You know, they made close to $1 billion on that DVD. How did that happen? When asked, she would just say, well, I just used The Secret. But guess what? There was actually research done on this. And what they found was over 99% of people that did the conventional law of attraction, positive thinking stuff, felt they got bad results. That's pretty bad, right?
Absolutely.
A 99% plus failure rate. Wow. You know, imagine if your car had a 99% failure rate. Wow. You know, there's a 1% chance you're going to get to work today.
Yeah.
We wouldn't accept that, would we?
No.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
Is if we're just using the conscious mind, we're up against a 99% failure rate because it's not powerful enough.
Yeah, there is only one job on the planet where you can do, you can achieve a 33% success rate and be considered a great player of this sport, and that's baseball.
Sure.
You can hit one-third of those balls, one-third. You do that in any other sport or business or family life or any other part of your life, you're done. You're toast. So 1% is even, that's it. By the way, that you know, you made that comment about this aspect of The Secret and the Law of Attraction. One of my guests many years ago made the comment. This was several years after it came out. And by the way, to answer the question about how they, you know, how it made millions of dollars. They're just $29.95 of mine. It's in there. I bought the video. I still have it today. But one of my guests made this interesting comment. They said, here's the problem. The problem with The Secret and the way they're promoting the Law of Attraction, they left something out. And I want you to address this. How does this play into this aspect?
They left a lot out.
Well, they left a lot out. But this was from this guest's perspective, a key. Said what they left out was...
Yeah. they left out a lot.
Yes.
And I'll reveal that in a second, but let's give a little context first.
Sure.
That we all know that one of the original books on self-improvement was Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
Right, we go back 100 years. Did you know that there was an earlier version of that book?
No.
And that it was suppressed?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And wow. What happened was that the power brokers of the time, Henry Ford and Thomas Edison were among them, they knew these secrets. It had been shared with them, some of these secrets of the ancient mystery schools, of how to create a successful life. And then Napoleon Hill goes and tries to write about it, and the first version, Henry Ford, made sure never saw the light of day, because it revealed too much. And so it was edited and revised. In computer terms, we'd say they released crippleware.
Oh, wow.
And so they took out some of the important points, but they left in enough of it that people would get a sense that this was important and, yeah. and could help some people. And so that was the genesis of all this modern law of attraction, positive thinking stuff. Hmm. It all goes back 100 years to Napoleon Hill. And some of the teachings got forcibly removed. And wow. I could talk for hours about this, but sure. if I had to answer, you know, give a one-minute version of it, it's quite simple, that almost all of the power is in the subconscious mind.
Okay, and you've mentioned that, too, that the conscious yes. mind is the weaker power,
That's
if
right.
you will. The element
it
that
is
they,
the
element that this guest mentioned they left out, and in addition to everything else you're talking about, is they said they didn't talk about how just because you want it doesn't necessarily mean that it's in your best interest, that it's for your higher self, your you know, and so forth. It's for your purpose in life. You know, what is your purpose in life? It does this, and I kind of concluded that some people still get the things that they want because eventually the universe, after being badgered for a number of who knows how long, finally says, all right, fine, you want it? Here, it's yours. And now you get to deal with the unintended consequences, so to speak.
Sure.
But that was one of the elements that this particular guest brought out, that they didn't talk about that.
And that is correct. I'll talk a little more about the subconscious and the technology for that, because I'm sure the listeners want to hear more.
Please, please.
But let me just throw out there one more. This one's very deep. This is more advanced. There's all this teaching in the self-improvement world about how you can become very powerful and you can harness the power of your mind and you can live your dreams and make money and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one ever stops to ask, what is this you?
Ah.
That's the greatest question of them all. And that ultimately is why I created Awakening Dynamics. But that's a little more advanced. We may circle back there.
Okay. And by the way, folks,
I want to talk a little more about the more accessible pieces for the listeners.
All right. Let's talk about that.
In terms of the technology.
Let's talk about that. Let me just mention Awakening Dynamics is the website. We want you to check it out, awakeningdynamics.com. My guest is Brent Phillips. All right. Let's go ahead and dive into some of these other elements that you want to talk about here.
And so what I want everyone to know is that consciousness and energy and mind power is all technology. There is a process to it. That what happened to me was, after my whole life cratered in 1998, I was put on permanent disability. I was living with my parents with such a high degree of pain that some days I needed help just cutting and eating my meals. When I had to drive, I had to pull over every 10 to 15 minutes to rest because just holding the steering wheel was too painful for me. I was told I could never work again.
Hmm.
And it was a wipeout. And as I mentioned, I spent about almost a year in positive thinking trying to turn it around, and it didn't help. I'll explain why in a second. Then I dove into alternative medicine, and I spent over 5 years as a professional patient literally doing nothing but going around getting treatments and running up a gigantic debt along the way. And you name it, I did it. You know, acupuncture, herbs, homeopaths, osteopaths, cranial sacral work, yoga, Pilates, diets and cleanses and, you know, magnets and electric stims and, you know, everything. Just, it was crazy, all the things I did. Nothing helped. I didn't get better, I got worse. And then in 2003, I agreed to an experimental surgery. Since I had found a doctor who had a new procedure, I applied for the program and was accepted as one of the test cases. And instead of helping me in curing my pain, I woke up from the surgery and found my arm was paralyzed. I couldn't move my right arm at all. And so it was stuck like that for several months. And that's when I found about this woman named Terry, who was a friend of my aunt. And Terry had been a very successful financial professional. And she had gotten sick and almost died and found this interesting kind of, to me at the time, was kind of woo-woo energy healing thing that literally saved her life. And she was so impressed by it, she quit her career in finance to be a professional healer.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, this lady's gone nuts, right? she was making like $160K a year in finance, and she just walked away from it to be a healer.
Wow.
But anyhow, I had a session with her. And she talked to me about the power of the subconscious and how to talk to it. And she did this block clearing thing with me for about an hour. And at the end of the hour, she said, okay, dear, we'll fix your arm now. And I was like, yeah, lady, go crazy, right? And she kind of closed her eyes and went into a trance for a minute. And my elbow went pop. And I was like, oh, my God, I can move my arm again. And I was astonished. It was truly a miracle.
Wow.
And so that was the miracle that changed the whole direction of my life. And at that moment, I said to her, you know, I need to learn this and I need to figure this stuff out. Because I had had this experience that I could not deny, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had just experienced a life-changing miracle. And so I spent the next 10 years doing research. I went around all these different master healers and gurus and spiritual teachers and intuitives. And, you know, I spent an obscene amount of money on different programs and seminars and sessions and intensives and retreats and so on, on a journey to reverse engineer the secrets of the masters. And this is what I found. There are a good number of people out there in the world who have some pretty amazing talents. There really are people out there that can help heal and manifest and read the future and all that. However, most of them don't have any idea what it is they're doing. For most of them, it was just a gift they were born with or something that just happened at some point in their life. And I want everyone listening to know that when I started this journey, I was terrible. I was the worst student anybody ever had. Why? Because I was so in my head. Because I was so darn smart with so much education, right? Pile of MIT degrees, perfect GPA, you know, honors, awards, accommodations, you know, accomplishments. I was so in my head, I couldn't do it at all.
The intellect and the ego was getting in the way.
That's exactly right. What I did have, though, I didn't have any talent as a healer. I'll let everyone know that, not when I started. What I did have was an incredible education and background in science and engineering. And so that's what I used. And I figured out what they were doing little by little. There is a technology to it. Electricity is a great example. That humans have known about electricity for thousands of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, cavemen sitting in their caves would watch lightning bolts and storms. They would feel the shock of static electricity on a dry winter day. So humans have been aware of electricity for thousands of years. But it wasn't until the 19th century that we really figured out how it worked and started to put it to work for us. You know, with you know, the greats, you know, Maxwell and Tesla and mm-hmm. you know, Edison and so on.
Right.
And because they figured it out, they cracked the code on the technology of electricity. Now it runs our whole world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. It powers our phones, our computers. You know, heats our homes, you know, runs our computers. The whole internet is just nothing but a whole bunch of electricity, ultimately, right? I mean, heck, you know, a lot of us even drive electric cars.
Exactly, yeah.
The point being that the state of energy healing, law of attraction, spiritual ascension is sort of like where electricity was a few hundred years ago. there were a few people that kind of figured out pieces of it, but no one really got the whole deal. And, of course, when we figure it out, then it gets easy for everybody, huh?
Exactly.
And so, you know, just as a point of reference, on my journey, it took me about 10 years of full-time work and effort to be certified as a master healer. And, you know, at that point, I created something like 500 miracles, which is pretty good, right? That's not bad.
and you're keeping track?
Yes, I do. I just passed 1,600.
Wow. Now, this is just in your own life?
No, for my clients.
Okay.
Yeah, for my clients. No, I haven't had 1,600 crises that would require a miracle, thank God. My gosh. You know, for me personally, it's, you know, probably numbers around, in terms of medical miracles, maybe half a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in terms of manifestation, I'm not counting those because that's difficult to quantify. When I say medical miracles, I mean you have something and, you know, medical report or test shows it, and then the week next week it's gone. Baffles the doctors.
Yeah.
And so what I learned was that there is a technology to this. That there are pieces that you can learn. And I'll offer to everybody a little bit right now. One of the pieces to this technology is the theta brain state. And so we talked a lot about the power of the subconscious. And so you may ask, well, how do we access the subconscious, right? How do we change that code?
Mm-hmm.
Without the right technology, you can't. And so you may ask the question, okay, Brent, you told us that 99% of people that use the law of attraction or the secret get bad results. What about the 1% that succeed? Because there really are plenty of cases of people who have success, right?
Right.
Right? You get 1,000 people in a hotel room jumping on the stage. On average, 10 of them will experience a powerful transformation in their life. What's going on there, right? Well, it's simple. Those 1% are naturally clear of subconscious blocks.
Hmm.
And so when they put their conscious mind towards something, the subconscious is not in the way, and it just works. The trouble is the other 99% of us are full of these subconscious blocks or bad code. We're full of bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go and make a vision board and shout out, universe, make me a millionaire. You know, that's not wrong. I would encourage you to do that. But if your subconscious is in the way, it's going to sabotage the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It won't let that happen.
I want to talk more about this when we come back from break because we're just touching. This is literally the tip of the iceberg. But I want to let our listeners know we're talking with Brent Phillips and his website, awakeningdynamics.com. We encourage you to go to that website. We will be linked to it as well. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Please stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm talking with Brent Phillips. He has an extraordinary story to tell us here on the program, and I am always fascinated by these conversations because it opens the door for a lot of folks, Brent, when they start hearing that okay, there isn't really anything wrong with what you've been doing, as you stated near the end of this last segment, but there's more. And it's not a question of, oh, you've got to do more. There's more that you have to do. There's more that you have to learn. Well, but that's always the case in every aspect of our lives. That's why we go through the first 12 years of school. Then we go on to post-secondary. Then we might go on to, who knows, undergraduate, graduate work, get our PhD and our master's and all those. That's the process that we go through. At least as far as our intellect is concerned, some people will do that with their bodies, their physical bodies, in terms of fitness and going out and doing all of the different things that they do. So to say that, yes, there's more to do. Yeah, there is more to do because we're constantly evolving. We're constantly changing and growing. And that's sort of the point of all of this in a manner of speaking is that if we really want to, as I've often talked about on this program, if we really want to thrive, as the tagline and an analogy that I use, let's do something with the life that we've been given, because we're not puppets on strings being manipulated by forces we do not understand. Yes, there are forces we do not understand, but it doesn't mean we can't understand them. And if you took the technologies of today and went back 50 years, let alone 150 years, they would think that you were some kind of either devil or God, one of the two. But none of this is really new in that context. It's our level of willingness to comprehend it, to understand it, and then to put it into practice. Now, you started talking about the theta wave therapy and the technique, and from what I have learned over the years, not only everything is energy, but this energy in different areas, in different places, and so forth, has different vibrations. So the theta wave is nothing more than, am I correct? It's nothing more than a vibration?
It's a frequency.
A frequency, right.
Yes, a vibration. Mm-hmm. And so where we left off was, I was mentioning how, well, there are some people that can go to your typical law of attraction or mastermind, and all of a sudden their lives take off, right?
Right.
I had a friend of mine who went to Tony Robbins about 8 years ago, and his career just caught fire. But most people walk out and don't see that kind of change. Well, what's the difference? It's the subconscious. That if your subconscious is aligned with a goal, all you have to do is point the conscious mind there, and you will achieve it. It just happens. Mm-hmm. But if the subconscious is against you, you can struggle and fight. You can say your mantras till you're blue in the face, and nothing's going to change. And so how do we get in and change the subconscious? Well, it's actually pretty easy. It's just technology. And there are people who have learned, had a natural talent for this. But again, I mentioned I did not have a natural talent. I learned this. I learned how to become, to claim the power of a master healer step by step. And it's like you mentioned with technology, you know, I guarantee to every single listener, if you took that phone in your pocket back in time just a couple hundred years, they would either consider you a god or a devil, mm-hmm. depending, right?
Yeah.
Because even without a network, the phone would be this incredible magical device. It can take pictures, it can record videos, it can do calculations. I mean, oh my gosh, right? Well, guess what? Clearing the subconscious, instant healing, manifesting with the power of the mind, even the ascension of consciousness towards enlightenment is ultimately technology. And one piece of it is to access the subconscious. The only way that happens is through the theta brainwave. And I learned this because when I looked at the research, there's been a lot of fascinating research done on what are called paranormal phenomena. In other words, instant healing, remote viewing, reading the future, talking to the dead, past life memories, things like that. They've all found that all these things happen are strongly correlated to what's called a theta brainwave, which is simply a frequency of operation of the brain. And the fascinating thing is, the time when we normally go into a theta state is when we're asleep and dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
What's called REM, rapid eye movement, that's a theta state. And so in order to access the subconscious, one piece of the technology is to learn how to replicate that same biochemical state of the brain when you're awake and conscious. And what I've done is I've simply evolved the technology. That when I first learned how to do this, it took a process that was kind of complicated and months of practice to get to a theta state. I have evolved the technology such that now I can teach it to people in an hour or two. I can teach anybody how to get to a theta wave and do healings with about 2 hours of training. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Why?
It's just technology. You know, it's like a car. If you had a car 100 years ago, guess what? You had to crank start it. There was no automatic transmission, right? You had to get out a giant crank and turn that engine until it turned over.
And I always found that interesting because you had to stand in front of the car, and I always thought that wasn't a good idea.
Yep. And a lot of people had serious injuries and even died crank starting their cars.
Ouch.
And nowadays, you just push a button.
Yeah.
right? And so that's just an example of the evolution of technology. You know, it took me, 8 years to develop the power of a master healer. For my students now, it'll take them anywhere from 1 to 3 months. That's all it takes.
Mm.
It's just technology. And with energy healing, law of attraction, mind power, even the more advanced things, I've been very blessed to have a teacher that shared with me some of the secret teachings of the ancient mystery schools. And, you know, those I don't like to talk about in a public audience, but with my advanced groups, I share those too.
Mm.
And what I found is it's all technology. You know, I can, for most people, turn on their ability to see energy and auras in past lives with their open eyes.
Wow.
There's just a technology to it.
Mm.
I can show you how to identify the stories or mythologies that are running your life. In other words, understanding what code you're running. It's just a matter of technology.
Yeah.
And the good news is, just like a good computer tech, if you know how to identify the bad code and change it, you can get your program to work, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So I want everyone listening to know, it doesn't matter what your issue is. It could be struggles with money or a relationship. It could be addiction. It could be your children. It could be your sense of purpose, your intuition, your physical health, your emotional health. It doesn't matter. It's all the same code. And a lot of people will ask me, well, Brent, hey, this sounds cool, right? But here's my specific problem, right? It's X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me? I want to answer everybody has that question right now. And my answer is yes. Because this technology is so powerful, it directly addresses the subconscious, which creates everything. Everything.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
At the same time. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, let me ask you. Because this mental image keeps popping up in my head as you're sharing all of this, I kind of just kind of set it aside. And look, listen to what he's saying. All right, and then it comes up again. So there was and I use Star Trek analogies all the time. Obviously, a big Trekkie when I was a kid. As I was growing up, and actually in the late 80s and early 90s with Next Generation specifically, a dear friend of mine used to say that this was our modern day mythology. And I then viewed that show from a whole different perspective. And there was one episode in particular where they were dealing with the holodeck, and a major problem happened with it, where one of the characters from Sherlock Holmes, Moriarty, managed to supposedly figure out a way to circumnavigate the holodeck and take control of the ship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the end of the show, the end of the program, Data is standing with this box supposedly containing the data that is Moriarty, as well as hundreds of terabytes of data space, so that he's going to think he's still in the holodeck and, you know, he's traveling through the universe. And he looks up while holding this box that's kind of flashing with the lights on it. He looks up and utters these words: computer, end program. Because in his mind, he's thinking, if Moriarty is nothing more than a computer program, a bunch of code, and we've managed to contain him in this box, but he thinks he's in the awesomeness and the infinity of the universe, how different is that from maybe I and the crew and so on and so forth? Maybe we're in just a bigger version of that program.
We are. And it's fascinating that what we've seen in the last 10 years or so is that the worlds of science and spirituality are merging.
Mm-hmm.
We are healing the division started by Descartes 300 years ago, that basically said, okay, science is over here and deals with the physical, and religion is over here and deals with the metaphysical. And we put a firm wall between them and don't let them communicate, right?
Yeah.
Well, that wall's coming down. And what you just described is actually one of the most popular, what they call theories of everything, among physicists now.
And what's interesting also is the fact that when I was working back in the 80s, early 90s for a Christian radio station, there was nothing but fighting against science and logic and technology, that it was of the devil. Even if they understood it, it had nothing to do with God and the Spirit. And I came to the conclusion myself that not only did I feel that they were in error, but that their own belief system, their own philosophy was, and I would say this, metaphysical, which, oh my God, no. Do you know the definition of the word metaphysical, my friend? It's beyond the physical. All of these philosophies, these ancient wisdom teachings are metaphysical. They're beyond the physical. That's all it means. And that's when I really began this investigation, this search, as I would call it, to which one would say, well, once you find Jesus, your search ends. And I said, actually, once I find Jesus, my search has just begun. And I continue. I continue. And you have pieces of the puzzle I'm looking for, my friend.
Absolutely. Brent. And that's why they call awakening the end of seeking.
Yeah.
There is an end of seeking. And I believe it was St. Francis that told us that that you are seeking is that which you are seeking. So when you know what is this you that is seeking, that is what ultimately we're all looking to find.
Isn't that kind of like Buddha sitting under the trees, realizing that if I just stop searching for enlightenment, I'll get it?
And it's funny that post-awakening, what I have found is that every religion is teaching us the same thing.
Yeah.
But until you get it, it's hard to see.
Yeah.
And that all of them are really it's basically different versions of the answer, and they've gotten very attached to it. You know, a good example would be that imagine the first time your child tries ice cream. I'll never forget the first time that my little boy had ice cream. I took him to Baskin-Robbins. I think he was about 3 years old. And he didn't know what ice cream was, and I ordered him something. And he took a bite of it, and his eyes lit up, and he said, Daddy, this is my favorite thing ever. Right?
Yeah.
And let's just say he had chocolate ice cream, and he'd go tell all his friends, you know what, chocolate ice cream is the best thing ever. And another little boy would have vanilla ice cream and go tell his friends that vanilla is the best thing ever.
Mm.
And so that's how I kind of see the religions. They're all arguing about what flavors best, when we really should just agree that we all love ice cream.
And you also did a great job of explaining my analogy about that ability of us on the physical level to experience a myriad of tastes and sensations, foods and education and relationships, on and on and on. And, of course, I was being told from an early age in catechism that there was only one path, and it was, of course, in that case, Catholicism. But when I ran that process of the myriad different foods and drinks and relationships and job careers and so on and so forth, and then there's only one way to God, it just did not compute in my brain.
Yeah, and it's funny. We see this in popular culture.
Yeah.
In the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, Judas says towards the end, hey, Jesus, what about Buddha? Is he up with you too? What about Muhammad? Did he move mountains, or was that just PR?
Yeah.
And so these are great questions, and I want everyone to know there is an answer. And there is what I want to offer to everybody is actually two different paths that work together.
Mm-hmm.
One is the path of the metaphysical, which is learning how to do energy healing, harness the power of the mind, access the theta wave, clear space, develop intuition. Those are important metaphysical tools. These will transition you into a five-dimensional reality. They can solve almost any problem, overcome almost any obstacle. There's also the spiritual, and that's a very different thing. And the spiritual is simply inquiring into the nature as, what am I? What is this awareness? You mentioned at the beginning, the difference between a human and a computer is a human has some sort of animus, the ghost in the machine, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
The soul, the spirit. What exactly is that? And that's why I created the system of awakening dynamics. And quite simply, the dynamics is the metaphysics. It is world-class technology. When I do my weekend trainings, the first day, everybody there is doing giving and receiving healings. Mm. It's that fast.
You know,
the second day, everybody is clearing subconscious blocks in seconds.
It's weird to hear the word technology associated with anything metaphysical. It's going to take a little while for my brain to accept. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way. It just sounds kind of odd that over the years, whenever I talk about spiritual things, I talk about metaphysical things, I never think technology. But I guess that's where it's a broader definition of the word. It's
And I mean, if we look at electronics, Maxwell, Tesla, and Edison really understood the science of electricity.
Yeah.
And then, well, really, Maxwell gave us the science, and Tesla and Edison gave us the technology.
Yeah.
And so I didn't invent these spiritual teachings. I just studied them. They've been around for thousands of years.
Right. And there's a device now where you can literally just, for example, because you use the example of our phones, you can set your phone on top of something. You don't have to even plug it in. And suddenly energy is transferred from the platform to the phone. And that's,
I got one with my new phone.
Incredible.
It's a wireless charger.
Yeah.
I just set it on the platform at night, and an hour or two later, it's all charged. It's great.
I mean, who would have thought that you could? I always thought you had to have a wire, you know, kind of stuff.
Sure.
And this is where we're going.
Yeah, and I've had clients and students on every continent except Antarctica. Because we were all connected to each other. We are all one, truly.
Yeah. I just had my DNA done. My DNA comes from five of the seven continents. Australia isn't one of them, and Antarctica isn't one of them.
Interesting.
Now, how about that? What about that information, that code, that, if I am understanding it, defines who we are more so on the physical level? Now they're saying that, you know, they can manipulate the code. They can manipulate the genes and the chromosomes and all these kinds of things. And this goes to this question to you. Sometimes in science, you know, they will come up with these new fangled things like, again, gene splicing and so on and so forth. And my one question, this is the same question every time I hear about some of this stuff. Just because we can, does that mean we should? And someone said, yes.
Well, I would take a more cautious approach and say that just because we can't, just because you can do something doesn't mean it's a good idea, certainly not in every context. We could detonate all of our nuclear weapons simultaneously and completely destroy the Earth's atmosphere and kill all higher life. So that would be my crown argument to all that say we should do everything we can.
Yeah.
That would sort of end our ability to do anything at all, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would. It certainly would. Now, this technology... So, go ahead.
And so what I want everyone to know is that this is simply what they taught me to do at MIT was to be an engineer. To take the understanding of science, the laws of the universe, that have been slowly uncovered over thousands of years, and apply them to create positive benefits for our lives. You know, to build cars, to make buildings and roads.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've done for the metaphysics and the spirituality. I've just tried to make it easy for people.
You know, there's
we all have this power.
There's
There's
an interesting aspect to this, too. You know how much, maybe we don't know the exact number, but you and I both know that there are millions of cars on the road every morning, Monday through Friday, right? And if you were to go through and grab the statistics for the number of incidents, and I'm not going to say accidents, but incidents that people have every day on the roads across America, it would literally be a small percentage.
Yes, it's mind-bogglingly small.
It's mind-bogglingly small considering you and I both see people doing stupid stuff all over the place and they don't get into accidents. You would think that by virtue of the volume of cars and the stupid actions that people take, that we would have 50 to 75% of all the vehicles on the road having some kind of incident, right?
Some kind of incident every day.
But we don't. It's just amazing.
Right, and that's because we're all running code. We are programmed for a certain level of safety in our driving.
Mm-hmm.
More evidence of the code.
A certain level.
Sure. You know, I teach what I call the subconscious financial thermostat.
Uh-huh.
That we all have a thermostat inside of us created by your subconscious programs that will determine about how much money you make. And this is why most lottery winners lose all their money. You've heard that, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. 1 year later.
That's not a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Right. It's because it doesn't really matter what number's in your bank account. What matters is what's inside of you. And the subconscious will always correct it. If you have too much money, it will take it away. If you have too little, it will get rid of it. There was a fascinating study done in the UK, I think it was in the 50s, about traffic safety. And they tested in different localities different kinds of road construction and traffic safety laws and speed limits and signs and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they found as a result of their study?
Hmm.
None of that had any impact on the rate of fatal accidents.
Wow.
That it was almost exactly the same, no matter how well or how poorly the roads were built, no matter how much safety equipment cars did or did not have, no matter what the speed limits were or weren't, that we're literally all just running code.
Wow.
And the only reason we have such a few small number of incidents on the road is that's how we're programmed.
I remember a report came out about a small town had one stop sign and people kept running it. And they tried everything, just like you're talking about. They finally came to a solution. And believe it or not, it actually worked. They removed all traffic control devices. Now people had a certain level of fear flying through that intersection, so they would slow down.
Right. That's why when they repealed the 55-mile-an-hour national speed limit, the rate of fatal accidents on the freeways actually went down.
Hmm.
Because people started paying more attention when they're driving at higher speed.
Yeah. Interesting.
The good news is, you asked at the beginning, what's the difference between a human and a computer?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know the answer?
I'd love to.
a human is the only example we are aware of in the entire universe of a successful self-modifying program.
Oh.
So we humans are unique that we are aware of. We are the only creations ever that we can successfully change our own code.
Do you think AI is getting close?
It will get there at some point.
Okay.
And when I was in grad school at MIT, that was seen as the holy grail of AI that was still decades in the future.
But some are even saying we are AI.
We are. Yes. And you mentioned the creation evolutionist thing.
Yeah.
They're both right.
Yeah. Why? Well, I say God created evolution.
Yes. Is there an intelligent God that chose life on Earth? Yes.
Yeah.
Did evolution happen? Yes. They're both right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is within my being that says that this was not an accident, because it doesn't make any sense to go through all this trouble to create all this stuff and all of these experiences, and then at the end of the life of the individual, lights out. Nothing left. Done.
That's correct.
It doesn't make any sense.
There have been supercomputer simulations done to calculate the odds of chemicals that on early Earth randomly bouncing into each other and creating life.
Yeah. What are those odds, by the way?
the odds are it would never happen in 1,000 lifetimes of the universe.
Wow. I want a question. I'm going to ask you a question.
And it happened.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question about our connectedness, using another Star Trek analogy. I don't think Roddenberry intended it for this to be used this way, but this is what I saw. As I'm watching Next Generation, I saw one character, if you will, who basically exemplified the connectivity, if you will, or connectedness that we humans share, and even that we share with that universal force, whatever, again, you feel appropriate calling it. That's the Borg.
Absolutely.
The Borg. They're all individuals from all parts of the universe. And yeah, okay, we won't go into the whole assimilation thing and destroying of civilizations. But the fact of the matter is, each one of the Borg has a separate and individual and distinct duty, but they're all interconnected, and yet they're all part of creating the big picture. And yet here we are, you and I, and we've gone through our lives, and all of a sudden, our paths somehow have intersected. How is this even possible? Unless there's an element in there, and you referred to it just in passing, and that is that still small voice, that intuition. Talk to me about that aspect of who and what we are in reference to where science meets spirit.
Well, then you're talking about awakening. And awakening is simply answering the question, what is it that we are? What exactly is this awareness in our head? And there is an answer.
And what is it? But?
The answer, unfortunately, is learning awakening is like learning a language.
Oh, yeah.
You can't learn a language in a weekend, can you?
No, not really.
But you can learn some basics about the grammar and pronunciation and some basic phrases and get started, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so awakening is similar. It is a journey like learning a language.
Yeah.
To understand the truth of life. Because I'll tell you what we are not. We are not any kind of being. We are not human beings. We are not minds. We are not bodies. We are not souls. We are not spirits. And I can offer simple proof of that. That all of our spiritual teachers for thousands of years have all told us that we're all one and we're all connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly we have different minds and bodies, right?
Right.
So that can't be the truth of us, because those aren't the same, are they?
No, they're not.
Well, guess what? The soul's not either. Because I got a soul, and you got a soul, and that guy over there has a soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're somehow different and distinct. So the truth of us is it transcends any of those things. We're not any kind of being. We are not nouns. We're verbs.
We're and verbs?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's funny that, I want everyone to trust me on this, when you start to achieve full awakening, you'll understand exactly what that means. It just takes a little time.
Wow.
And it was funny. I was so proud of myself when I came up with that. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're not nouns, we're verbs. And I started putting it into my teachings. And one of my students said, Brent, you do realize that that's in the Vedic scriptures written 5,000 years ago. I was like, oh, okay.
I hadn't thought of it quite like that, but no, you're right. And they are right. Interesting.
And so this is why they call awakening is the beginning of the end of suffering.
Yeah.
It is the only thing that can lead us to truly dissolving our attachment. And it's often been called the foot in the door to enlightenment.
You know, Greg Braden said in one of his books, was actually entitled The Healing Power of Belief. And he said that where we are headed is and that we will know, so to speak, that we have evolved. Because we will transcend from belief to knowing.
Of course.
And you
know, when people ask me if I believe in God, I laugh. I say, I believe in God for the same reason I believe in my car. There's no room for belief when you have absolute knowingness.
It's funny because I heard a phrase similar to that in terms of people of faith trying to prove belief in God. You know, and someone, an atheist, would say, oh, I don't believe in God. Well, that doesn't matter. God believes in you. And I'm thinking,
sure.
What the heck does that mean, you know?
Right. Some people don't believe in gravity. They just don't live very long.
I still remember it was maybe a few months, or I think it was 2017, this guy launched himself into the sky to prove that the Earth was flat. The only thing he did was hurt his back.
Yes.
And a buddy of mine said, well, if the Earth was flat, then why is it during a lunar eclipse that the whole circular circumference of the moon is blotted out by the shadow of the Earth, which is round?
Well, that's actually the original way that humans realized the Earth was round, is they looked at the shadow the Earth made on the moon during a lunar eclipse and saw it curved.
Yeah.
So they knew that in ancient Babylon. They knew that 5,000 years ago.
By the same token, the people who did not have the education, and this goes back maybe 1,700 years, when there was a solar eclipse, the religious powers that be would say, oh, God is angry, give alms, and otherwise God will blot the sun out completely. Of course, they knew that the sunlight would be coming back. Of course, the people didn't know this, so they gave, and the sun came back. And of course, and now we understand that it's just a cycle. It's just what happens in the universe.
Some ancient people believe that when the cock crowed, it made the sun rise. And then someone killed the cock and the sun still rose, and they went, oops, that must not be it.
Must not be it. Exactly. It's fascinating. I am quite intrigued, especially by this aspect of this awakening dynamics. And quite honestly, you know, I think about this whole aspect of if the focal point is money, if the focal point is my bank account, taking on more jobs and taking on more projects is not going to change that. I have to go
not over
in
the long run
and change.
You might get
the
a
program.
Temporary bump, but, yeah. but it will make no difference over the long term.
Right. I've got to change the programming. I've got to go.
That's right.
I've got to get the upgrade.
Yep.
Who makes that upgrade, by the way?
I make it.
You make it. Brent Phillips.
I make a version of it. I'm certainly not the only one, but
sure.
You know, the way I work is not for everybody. But I think for those that it's a good fit, it is absolutely the most powerful consciousness technology you'll find anywhere.
Don't
take my word for it. Come see for yourself.
And one, your book is also, this particular work is also available in Audible. Is that right? Where Science Meets Spirit is also an Audible book?
I'm actually redoing it. I had a audio version that I took down only because the person I hired, I think, did a terrible job. So I'm currently redoing that.
Ah, okay.
With my own voice, because I think it'll be a much better job.
I would
but,
agree with
anybody
you.
Anybody that's interested, you're certainly welcome to go buy my books on Amazon. But anyone that wants to go to my website at awakeningdynamics.com, I will give you the first volume of the series totally for free. I will also give you what I call my blueprint for higher dimensional living that you can print out and, you know, keep handy, as well as an admission to one of my live calls where you can come and learn how to talk to the subconscious and experience some block learning for yourself.
Well, I happen to subscribe, for example, to Audible. And I have come across some incredible works. And I actually produce Audible audiobooks. I don't necessarily read them, but I have the author or whoever the narrator is going to be. And I have to tell you, that is one of the most incredible and fascinating and fun projects that I have ever done. Not only in terms of the work, but also in terms of the fact that I probably never would have read this book if this person hadn't come in. And then I start gathering up. For example, I am maybe 3/4 of the way through a book I started back in the early 90s when I finally got a copy of it for myself. And that was the book Stranger in a Strange Land. And so now I'm reading it in Audible and just taking my time through it. And I'm actually having a blast listening to it and books such as yours that are available. And it's, I have to tell you, I've always loved listening. Growing up as a legally blind kid, listening to talking books and recordings for the blind. And that's where I first was introduced to Autobiography of a Yogi. And that's where my search began. That's my metaphysical primer.
For me, it was Conversations with God.
Fantastic book. Fantastic. There's also another one by Spalding that was like, I think it's a 5-book series that I actually took a course in back in Phoenix. And I always found that that particular aspect just fascinating, just incredible stuff that's out there. And it continues, as you've stated, and as I am aware, because I have been doing this stuff for like, I don't know, 40 years, something like that. The interconnectedness, the stream that runs through all of this stuff, that's just inescapable, you know. And if you start to compartmentalize these things, it's not going to work. You've got to realize that it is all connected, and it's all related. And I encourage people, of course, to go to your website, which again is awakeningdynamics.com, and do your own research, do your own investigation. That's I'm not sitting here. This is not an infomercial for Brent Phillips. This is a program that is designed to put these pieces on the smorgasbord table, as we like to call it, and you take what resonates with you. Take what works for you. Brent, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. This is just fascinating stuff. I'm going to continue to do some more research and investigation through your website, awakeningdynamics.com. And also listening to your book as well. And we hope that one day we might be able to meet in person if you happen to find yourself out here in Santa Barbara, because we'd love to continue this conversation on this program.
That would be great. It's been great to be here.
And before we let you go, I have three final questions for you that I like to ask my guests. Again, I want to remind you the website is awakeningdynamics.com. Again, we will be linked, and the interview will be not only at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, but SoundCloud and iTunes. And if you are just joining us as the radio broadcast ends, this program has more of an interview. It's called The Afterview, and you can hear that on the podcasts if you will please tune in. First question is, who is Brent Phillips?
Simply a biological human computer sent to Earth to try to crack the code on some of the spiritual technology to make it easier for people.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I want to help people, as I say, wake up and smell the truth. That most of what we've been taught about our lives and God and everything is just somewhere between wrong and totally backwards. And I'd like to help everybody get on the right track.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
For everybody, it's simple. You are your life's purpose. The question is understanding what you are. And so when you understand exactly what you are, which is what we call awakening, then the purpose becomes obvious and immediate. Hmm. You can't miss it.
Brent, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your story with us here on the program.
This has been great.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.